Thank you. There we go. Last year, while we were here at camp meeting, Rebecca and I were considering going on a 3-month mission trip to Thailand. We had both longed for years, actually, to be involved in some kind of a mission, and it seemed like the Lord had brought us to the right place, or shown us the right place to consider anyway. We counted the cost, the financial cost, the potential physical risks, and decided that to be involved was worth it. So last November, we headed out to Sunshine Orchard Children's Home and Learning Center in Tak Province in Thailand. We flew into Chiang Mai, and there we were met by Paul and Lena Adams, the founders of that mission. I'll just show you a couple pictures from Chiang Mai and from our trip, traveling the 8-hour trip south to the Tak Province, right along the border. There are lots and lots, the Buddhism is the predominant religion there, so there are lots and lots of shrines and pagodas as you travel. This is the highway that we were on most of the time. It's the one that goes along the border of Thailand and Burma or Myanmar. And this picture actually is the highway that, as it cuts through the campus, there in the jungle where we were. There's the Steck family. He's the school headmaster there at Sunshine Orchard Children's Home and Learning Center. It was quite an experience. 3 months of just jam-packed day by day. Wonderful experience, but very, very intense. Learning new things, being dropped in a place where you can't talk the language, can't read, can't write, don't know how to set up your mosquito netting, how to go shopping, how to use a different kind of toilet, how to live in a bamboo hut, how to cook, how to bathe. Everything was different. I wish I could tell you of some of those experiences, but time doesn't quite permit it. This is the Adams family, Paul and Lena Adams, Mama Doe, with their 4 children, and each of their children is holding one of the adoptees, one of the orphaned or abandoned children that they have. We met all of these children, would love to tell you each of their experiences. I'll just tell you one. This is the first baby that they got. He was 8 months old when they got him, and that's the picture of him when he was 8 months old. He was starving. His mother was alcoholic. They were giving milk to the mother for the baby, but she was so addicted that she was selling the milk and buying alcohol with it. And so the baby was brought to them. He couldn't hold his head up. But next to him, you'll see the picture of what he looked like when we were there. And he was a handful. But he really worked his way into my heart. These are the children as they were there while we were there. I wish I could tell you about Timothy and Talitha, the twins that were almost left in the jungle to die. Just before we left, they asked us if we would do a little fundraiser for blankets and jackets for the children during the cool season. It gets down in the 60s at night. So blankets for 300 children were just about filled the truck. And most of the money we raised was from this conference. And so there's the children just enjoying the blankets and saying thank you. They used them, even wrapped themselves up in them sometimes to go to worship in the mornings at 5:30 while it was still dark. The school is right on the border of Thailand and Burma. You can see in this picture one of the school buildings, and behind it, the mountains of Burma. The students are primarily refugees from Burma. Here they are again, right on the river, on the border, and you can see the beautiful mountains of Burma, their home. But there's been civil war going on. The school used to be in Burma. These are Karen tribe people. They live in Karen State, spelled K-A-R-E-N. The same people that Eric B. Hare ministered to, and some of their descendants of those people we met while we were there. But this, when the school was over in Burma, the Burmese army was actually approaching the school, and many of the people had fled across the river into Thailand and are in refugee camps. That's one that's close by. And finally, as the army got close enough, the school leader said, let's put the children in boats and take them across the river. So they were taken across, and this is the house that they rented in Thailand when they first arrived. Since then, they have purchased land all around it, and the school has grown to over 300 children, grown very rapidly, so they're really suffering from growing pains. One of the things that happened, Lena Adams, Mama Doe and Papa Doe, they were called affectionately, had been told when they first went there, the Thai people, the local citizens, are going to be very unhappy about your being here. They will probably kill you. And she was quite frightened because at night she would hear the guns going off and wondering, are they coming here? Are we safe? And lying awake, afraid, is this the right place? And one day she went up to Chiang Mai. And while she was in Chiang Mai, she felt safe. And she was there in the motel room studying her Bible, and she came across this verse that seemed to be highlighted in gold that God had said to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And she knew that God had given her that promise. She is not afraid now, and they have not been hurt in the 5 or 6 years that have intervened. And there are much people in this place whose hearts are open. These are the children packed into the chapel for their morning and evening worships. And every year they have baptisms for students who have decided they want to be Christians and give their hearts to the Lord. And they do so at a high cost that Rebecca will be telling you about in a few minutes. These are just a few pictures from the school, the main classroom building. This is inside one of the classrooms. They have no textbooks. The teachers write it on the board, and the children chant after them, and the sounds bleed over the walls from the next classroom. I don't know how they learn, but they do. This is guitar class in the chapel, industrial class learning to sew on treadle sewing machines. Here the students in industrial class are doing their own traditional native weaving. They are strapped into those weaving looms. You can see the straps behind their backs. Rebecca got to try that while she was there. It's quite a challenge. Lots of gardens. There's the children eating breakfast in the garden. They eat breakfast all over the campus, eat their meals all over. Here they're carrying in produce from the gardens. And they teach us. They're building bamboo hut here, the boys that come, the children that come, they know how to do it, and we learn that from them. And here they're gathering sand, mixing sand for cement, and pouring sidewalks that are very helpful in the rainy season. Equal opportunity, boys and girls alike here. Digging a well. People always groan when they see that picture. They also have medical work. The clinic is the front porch of that first building that I showed you where they had the evacuation. The villagers just come there for treatment. And the students are taught a little, medicine so that when they go back into their villages, they can take the gospel and medical care to the people in the mountains. Now, Rebecca is going to tell you a little bit more about her experience in the children's home.
So one of the things I did the most there was I worked in the children's home. And one of the things you do the most in the children's home is you take a bath in the creek every day. And so this one particular day, I had taken this little boy with me. And we had decided we would walk all the way around the creek. It was quite a distance to the kitchen. And we would come up the bank there. Well, as we were beginning to come up the bank, he pointed up on the bank to me and he said, to a banana tree, and he said, look, Becca, I want. And I said, okay, you can have the bananas. So he climbed up the tree, and after he pulled on the bananas and We banged on them and shook the tree. They weren't coming down, and I thought it was hopeless. But he got a rock, and he jammed it into the tree. And I thought, I can do that. Now, I want to share with you two facts about banana trees. And one is that once they produce one cluster of bananas, that's all they ever produce in their whole lifetime. So it's okay to cut the tree down. It's not a waste. And if you cut into their flesh, they spit at you. And I discovered that without being told, too. So we cut down the tree, and as it was beginning to fall, I thought, oh no, what if the children are under the tree? And they're heavy, and it would hurt if it fell on you, especially on a three-year-old. And I looked down, and this little girl was under the tree, and I held the tree up, and I said, Cuckoo-pa, move! And she's 3 years old, going through her terrible twos, and she said, no! And so I told this little girl, I said, Juju, move Cuckoo-pa. And she moved her, but she didn't move her quite out of the way, and the tree fell, and it actually raised welts on her back, but she was okay. But all bananas aside, there was many baptisms. This is the baptism on my birthday this year, and right after we left. This boy is Sapoe. I heard his testimony one Sabbath night, and it touched me so much. His father had sent him to the school with very direct orders never to become a Christian, and if he did, he would disown him. But after he had been there for a while, he decided he needed to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And the day before his baptism, his mother showed up. And of course, she told the father, and he was very, very angry and told him never to come back home. But one day he decided, he just got up the courage and he went back home, and they decided they would only feed him pork. And they wouldn't buy him anything else. And so finally he had to leave. But it touched my heart so much when he ended. He said, I love my mother and my father. I know they don't mean any of this. It's just Satan working through them. Please pray that they will quit letting Satan work through them. And the tears still want to come. I'm very sad, and I'm sorry I can't talk very well. Anyway, this boy, his name is Esso, and he carries these big 8-liter water jugs around on his shoulders to deliver them to us so he can drink during the day. And he's always, always smiling. I haven't seen him on a time when he doesn't have a smile on his face. And so one day I asked Mama Doe about him, and she said, he came to the school, his parents disowned him or something, and his uncle is a soldier in the Karen army. And he also sent him to the school and told him not to become a Seventh-day Adventist. But not only did he threaten he would disown him, he threatened he would kill him. And he got baptized, and his uncle told him he's going to kill him this year. So please pray for him, because God can still stop that from happening. But it also touched my heart. It actually broke my heart because I cried, because there's no fence, there's nothing to protect him. And he seemed so not worrying about the future, not worrying about being killed, and it reminded me of the quote in Ellen White, we have no fear for the future except that we forget how God hath led us in the past. Amen. Anyway, so if you guys have never been on a mission trip, I highly recommend one. Amen. Just because we're Americans doesn't mean that we have to be immune to the things that they have to deal with every day. And we can even do it here in America. We don't have to protect ourselves from being humiliated.
Amen.